brothers and sisters in Christ, may the Lord give you his peace. Amen?
Amen.
A doctor, a professor, a marine, and his young son were all out for a Sunday afternoon flight on a private airplane. Suddenly, the plane developed engine trouble. In spite of the best efforts of the pilot, the plane started to go down. Finally, the pilot grabbed the parachute and yelled to the passengers that they better jump as he himself bailed out of the airplane. Unfortunately, there were 4 passengers and only 3 parachutes. The doctor grabbed one and said, "I am a doctor. I save lives. Therefore, I should live," as he jumped out of the airplane. The professor then said, "I'm a professor. Professors are the smartest people in the world. I deserve to live." He also grabbed the parachute and jumped. The Marine looked at his little boy and said, "My son, I've lived a long, full life. You are young and have your whole life ahead of you. You take the last parachute and live in peace." The little boy handed the parachute back to his dad, the Marine, and said, "Not to worry, Dad. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the airplane with my backpack." A doctor. A doctor, a professor, and the pilot, all 3 motivated by their own self-interest, their own selfishness. Only one person on that plane was selfless, a man willing to lay down his life much more out of his being a father to the little boy than a Marine among men. "Son, you take the last parachute and live in peace." Family life is by God's design a means to grow day by day from our tendencies to selfishness into our capacity for selfless, unconditional love. This weekend, of course, we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Our celebration today reminds us that family life is rooted in the unconditional love of God, as witnessed to by the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The high point of the Holy Family's unconditional love was shown on Calvary by Jesus and Mary. On the one hand, Jesus selflessly laid down his life for us, his bride, the church. This was hands down the most unselfish act in all of human history. For us, it means the difference between eternal life and eternal damnation. Aren't you glad that God chose life? That is something worth thinking about as we are mindful of the 46th anniversary of legalized abortion in the United States of America on January the 22nd. God chose life, but I digress. On the other hand, our Blessed Lady first received the eternal Son of God into her immaculate womb. It is impossible for us to understand how disruptive and inconvenient it was for Mary to accept being the mother of God, not to mention poor Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph and Mary must have had some plan for their lives together as husband and wife. Whatever their plan was, they would never have imagined anything resembling God's plan for them. You probably think you have your hands full raising your children. Imagine raising the Messiah. Your kids only think they're always right. The Christ child was always right. There must have been many things Mary and Joseph couldn't understand, like his actions in today's gospel. It's worth highlighting that Saint Joseph had to selfishly let go of his ideas, his plans, no matter how noble they undoubtedly were, to be the foster father of our Lord Jesus. He unselfishly led, protected, and provided for the Holy Family until his death. He is the patron of a happy death because he died with Jesus and Mary at his side. But most of all, because he was a holy man of God. As husband and father in the Holy Family, St. Joseph is a perfect model of manly, unconditional, unselfish love. Now let us return to our thoughts about the Holy Family's unselfish love on Calvary. The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ in choosing life for us, as already noted, is pretty obvious. But consider the unconditional love of our Blessed Lady. The first person in human history to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. She had already, in many ways, had to let go of Jesus as he began his public ministry. As Our Lady of Sorrows on Calvary, Mary had to surrender her divine Son back to the Father. In this same unselfish act, she had to accept us as her sons and daughters. Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Not for nothing, but if I were the Blessed Mother, I'd be thinking, such a deal. I have to let go of mothering the Messiah to mother all of you? Mary chose life for us also. Her profound pain on Calvary was the birth pangs of the Catholic Church. As the new Eve, Mary is mother of all the living, the perfect antidote to the selfishness chosen in the Garden of Eden by our first parents. Dear brothers and sisters, in God's plan, the perfect example of unconditional, unselfish love is enshrined in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The Holy Family stands as an ideal for all families to aspire, indeed strive to become. This offers us some context for today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to Colossians, chapter 3. The reading begins by delineating those qualities we'd hope abound in all families, not just the Holy Family. Heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and love, the perfect bond of perfection. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another. Pray with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful family that would be, huh? I think we all want these attributes to flourish in our families, as they undoubtedly did in the Holy Family. But the rest of that reading might just hurl us into a tailspin. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children so that they do not become discouraged. There's something about these words which, quite frankly, rub our 21st century ears the wrong way. And if we're not careful, we can even think the Bible, or at least St. Paul, is misogynistic. It is simply untenable to maintain that there is anything defective or sinful in the inspired Word of God. More benignly, we could believe that the biblical modes of speaking are archaic and don't really speak to our modern culture. Again, this is untenable, for the Word of God endures forever, as 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 tells us. The fact is that St. Paul speaks as powerfully and relevantly to us today as ever. God's plan is this. Family life is supposed to build up the culture. Instead, family life is being destroyed by the culture. It all comes back to the mutual, unconditional love exemplified by the Holy Family. In the Holy Family, there was neither misogyny nor misandry, which is the prejudice or hatred against men and boys. Today we call it toxic masculinity. Today we speak of toxic masculinity. You don't hear St. Joseph putting Mary down and for not saying no to the Archangel Gabriel. You don't hear Mary nagging Joseph that he couldn't provide something better than a stable and manger to give birth to the Savior of the world. Not to mention the incredible parental patience both Mary and Joseph had in raising the Messiah, as demonstrated in today's gospel. The key to understanding St. Paul's teaching about marriage and family life can be found in a parallel text to today's second reading, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Everyone hears Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives be subordinate to your husbands, but hardly anyone hears the verse before or the verses after. Ephesians 5, 21. Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. And verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her. Those two verses mean that family life is all about unselfish, unconditional, Trinitarian love and Christ-like love. Family life is all about seeking each other's good above and beyond one's own, trusting that each family member is doing the same and all will have their needs truly met because we're all motivated by love. Family life is all about giving, not taking. How do you spell family? F-A-M-I-L-Y. Forget about me. I love you. Like Jesus forgot about himself. By contrast, the culture, to the extent it considers family life at all, promotes the idea that family life is characterized by competition. Consider the cliches: women nag, men mansplain. Parents don't understand. Children don't do anything to help out. He wants a mother, not a wife. And so on. This is the stuff of many TV shows. Too often, the pursuit of selfish interests can take hold in a family. Meanwhile, many physical, emotional, and spiritual needs remain unmet in the one place they should be met most of all, one's family. Left unchecked, selfishness will destroy family life. The good news is that each of us here gathered can choose to be the one who takes responsibility. You be the first one to become more selfless in your family. You be the one lead by example in your family. Selfless love in family life is like a parachute. When the inevitable tough times come, it will carry you to safety. Selfishness in family life is like a backpack. When the inevitable tough times come, it will make you go splat. May our families grow in holiness together and build up a renewed culture of life and love. Forget about me, I love you. Say it with me. Forget about me, I love you. May Jesus be praised now and forever.
Amen.